Aquafina and Jane Bentivenga. So just to give the same reminder that I always give during these Zoom meetings, just please try and stay cognizant of the fact that it's easier to interrupt each other. If you're not speaking, please just keep your phone on mute. Joe, can you hear? Okay. So just please try and keep your phone on mute if you're not speaking. This will help us keep from hearing background noise. We'll also be, you know, unmuting people to conduct roll call, take any board votes. We have a number of those tonight. So once you've been called on and responded, we ask that you just please mute your line again. And let's all just be patient with each other if we run into any unexpected technical difficulties. Okay, so I think with that, I'm just going to get started with the virtual Pledge of Allegiance. So as usual, you can just stand up and follow along with us as we recite the pledge. I pledge allegiance,
to the flag
of the United States
of America
and to the Republic,
for which it stands,
one nation
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice
for all. I apologize that you guys all got the view of my stomach there. It's been a lot of eating this month post-Thanksgiving. I should have changed the camera view. Okay. So it's time for public participation. Before we get to our local representatives and those who signed up, I'd just like to turn it over to Officer Galano from the 111th to give us the update from our local NYPD. Officer Galano?
Hey, good evening, everybody. I just want to go over what's going on here in the 111. Go over the basic statistics for now. Week to date, we took a lot of burglaries. This week, we took a total of 17 burglaries, where last year we took one. Total index crimes was 27 as opposed to which was 8. So we're up quite a few on that, 237%. On the 28-day period, we took a total of 101 crimes, where last year was 65%. So we're up 55% in the 28 day. Year to date, we are up 2.8% from last year, from 722 this year. From last year, we had 702 crimes. The driving force that we're having right now is a lot of burglaries, both commercial and residential. And quite a few of these burglaries have been really a crime of opportunity, where windows and doors have been left open, where perpetrators were able to gain entry through a house, not even breaking through a lock, but actually just either opening up a door or a side window that was left open. So big things I want to really stress is everybody can lock their windows and their doors. Can everybody hear me? I just want to make sure.
I can hear you.
Okay, yeah. I just want to make sure. Okay. One of the other factors that's really driving our crime is we had a lot of cars that have been stolen as well, too. And a lot of that is also a crime of opportunity, where people are leaving either their keys in the ignition or leaving the key fobs in the actual vehicle themselves. And a lot of times these perpetrators, whether it's, you know, a Dunkin' 7-Eleven, they'll, you know, the person gets out to get their cup of coffee and they'll jump in the car and drive off with their car. So I can't stress that anymore, that if you do get a cup of coffee, take the key fob or the keys out of the ignition, lock your door, shut the car off, and then get your cup of coffee, because we had quite a few of those as well, too. Some of the other things I want to mention, too, we had a couple of Hondas and tires and rims from Hondas taken as well. Not really the driving force, but we had a couple. So if you have a Honda, make sure that you utilize wheel locks if you have them. If you don't, it's a good investment to get it, and it's also a little bit harder for any criminal to really break off the lock. It's a little more hesitant for them to even actually look at the car if they see the wheel lock. They'll just go to another car. With that, does anybody have any questions or concerns or anything else going on?
I have something.
Sure.
Christine.
Hey, Christine. How you been?
Okay, good. I actually caught them again today. There's a black van that runs around with washing material inside it. And then cars line up, and he gives them a car wash. A hose comes out of this van, and so on and so forth. It's really horrible, actually.
Where, Where is this happening? Where and what's
happening? I've called the police a couple of times. Now, you and I both know this is not a priority for them. And by the time he's got the car washed, if you know what I mean, and if you guys are able to come, they're gone. They've been on 58th Avenue, 188th Street. There's a house there that's being torn down.
Okay.
Now, today, they came right in front of my house, which is 5647 189th Street, and a plainclothes car did come.
Okay.
I was very impressed. But they're all over. They'll stop, you know, wherever they want.
Okay.
And it's really weird. It sounds weird, but it's happening.
I think it's a different. Do you think it's the same, or you think it's a different van? You think it's the same?
No, it's a different, same guy.
Same guy.
It's the same guy, yeah. But different cars pull up. Apparently, they know about where he's going to be on a certain time.
Okay.
Because one day they had 58th Avenue and 188th Street just completely double parked.
Do you have a plate number, Christine?
I had one, and it had a temporary ending in October. Then I passed the other day. He's got a new temporary ending in November. It was November 20th, I think. I'll get you more information on that.
My email address. When you get the other info, just send it to me, you know, via email if you could.
Yeah, but that'd it's really, and, you know, it's not good.
Thank you. We'll look into that. That's not a problem. One of the other things I want to mention, too, is that, you know, if you see anybody, you know, suspicious where they might be, you know, looking at a house or they're looking into cars, you know, call 911 as well, too, if you can advise, you know, everybody on the board.
Okay.
So if you could send an email out as well, too, that, you know, if you see something suspicious, to call 911, you know, that would always help us out as well, too. So.
Oh, okay. Now, what email would I send it to?
You could send it to me, Luigi, L-U-I-G-I, .Galano, that's G-A-L-A-N-O, at NYPD.org.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have any concerns or they'd like to address? Or?
It's been probably about 5-6 months now. We got a bunch of these cars, little cars. They, I guess they do it on purpose, but, you know, they have them mistimed, so they bang and pop and all that. And they're racing up and down 73rd Avenue from, like, 230th Street to Springfield Boulevard at high speeds, day and night. Then they make the left on Springfield up to whatever the other side of the park is. I think it's 76th or 77th Avenue. And they race back up there. I mean, it's constant. Everybody, you know, calls, but of course, by the time
we've had a lot actually about it, so we're kind of aware of it. I'm looking to do some sort of initiative one of these days coming up. I'm not sure exactly what day we have set up yet, but we're going to try to target some of the drag racing and the speeding around there. But this is not the first time I've heard about it, so I'll make sure we address it.
Appreciate it.
No problem.
And officer, just one other thing. I think you were with us years back when we had the big tractor trailer trucks parking around here.
By the Horace Harding?
By the Peck Park and 58th Avenue.
Yeah.
They're back.
Okay.
They're back.
And are they just on the overnight, or is it they just parked there all day, you know, a couple days?
All day, all night, sometimes weekend, transferring cars from one car carrier to the other, stuff like that.
Okay, all right.
All around the park and Peck and Underhill and all the homes.
Yeah, I remember when that was going on years ago. I guess they started up.
Right. And then we had a good thing going, and then, you know, the personnel changed.
Okay, no problem.
I'd appreciate that.
Okay, no problem. I'll look into that.
Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
They didn't want to forget it.
That's all right. Anybody else got anything else?
Officer Galano, what was the number on the burglaries from last year? What'd you say it was?
For the week to date, last year, the week, we had only one burglary, and then this week we have 17. That's for the week period. Do you want the 28-day period or year to date or both? It doesn't matter.
That's okay. The other thing is, do you know anything about any stories about squatters, people, you know, gaining entry into homes in the district and then taking them over?
It hasn't really been, I haven't really seen any complaints of that. Are you seeing that, or?
Yeah, we have one in my neighborhood. I'm not going to take your time right now to go into it, but we've. Well, I'll reach you separately about it.
Okay, you can if you want, just email me the particulars about it, and I'll look into it.
It's at luigi.galano@nyp.org.
Yep, that's it.
Great. And then the last thing is, Michael, do you want to mention anything about 211th Street with that people trying to get into that house?
Yeah, I think we can talk about that. Paul, why don't we reach out to Officer Galano separately on both those issues? I think they're of a related nature. So Officer Galano, we'll be in touch. On Paul and our neighborhood, we're having, you know, there's been a couple of incidents of folks going into houses that are otherwise vacant.
Okay.
Thank you both.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Officer Galano, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
If anybody has any other issues they want to address on the side, just email me and I'll address them. Not a problem.
Okay, stay safe out there. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. I guess we'll see you after the New Year. So Happy New Year.
That's right. Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Holidays.
Happy New Year.
Happy holidays.
All right, take care.
All right, take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on. Just wanted to announce the elected officials that I know are here, as well as the representatives. We've got Anne-Marie Baranian from the borough president's office. And I believe we actually have brand new borough president Richards here as well tonight, which is exciting. Also have John Gallo from Senator Liu's office, Isabel Pulgarin from Assemblymember Rozek's office. And I believe we also have Assemblymember David Weprin here in the flesh as well, which is exciting also. My understanding is that both Assemblymember Weprin as well as Borough President Richards would like to speak. Did I miss any elected official representatives who are here that I didn't mention, just for the record?
Hi, this is Kevin Kaprowski from Councilmember Vallone's office. I'm also here.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
Susan.
Hi,
Councilman
Kredetrix. Thank you, Susan.
I'm from Queens DA's office. Sorry, Don. Queens DA's office.
Thanks, Edward Leal from the Queens DA's office.
Thank you.
And Anthony Lemesinia from Assemblyman Weapons Office.
Keith, hi.
Maria DeLeone from Grace Meng's office.
Okay, and thank you, Maria. And Casey, I saw you too.
Casey Lice from Congressman Tom Suozzi's office. Thank you.
Perfect.
Elaine from your city controller, Scott Stringer's office.
Okay, excellent. Okay, thank you, everybody.
Dave Fisher from Assemblyman Bronstein's office.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Okay, full house tonight. I think first on our list from the elected officials, I think Assemblymember Weprin had asked to say a few words.
Yeah, I'll defer to the borough president and if he wants to speak. If we let him go first.
Sure. Borough President Richards, welcome. It's our first time, I think, having you join us here at Community Board 11. We're very excited.
Thank you. And I want to acknowledge both you and Michael. And, Michael and Joe, both of you for your extensive and hard work for Community Board 11. First, let me start off by saying thank you for having me. It's an honor to serve this entire borough. It's a big borough. I'm a former council member who represented the Rockaways and Laurelton and Rosedale and Springfield Gardens. You know, each council member covers about 150,000 people. So now, you know, obviously we've moved over to 2.2 million people in growing in our borough. And I know it's been really a challenging year for each and every one of us as we look at COVID-19 and the impact on our borough, you know, being obviously the epicenter of this crisis. You know, we have a lot of work to do as we move ahead. And, you know, there are certainly a lot of challenges as we start to see these numbers creep up a lot more. I was just on with the governor's office a little bit earlier today. And, you know, we need to make sure we are adhering to all the rules and regulations as wearing masks and social distancing and doing everything we can do to make sure that we keep our borough safe. And even with that, you know, we know that there are challenges for our small businesses, for our institutions. You know, I was talking to them about, you know, if they're even considering closing, making sure that there's access to grant dollars, you know, for our small businesses who unfortunately have been impacted in a big way. And, you know, we want to keep the economy strong, but we know that health and safety is paramount to ensuring that we can get back to some sort of normalcy as we move into the next year. And then lastly, I'll talk about, the vaccine. And I know that this is, everybody's like, we're not taking this vaccine. but, I am going to be one of the first in line, to ensure that we promote, this vaccine, because I think it's key in ensuring that we can, once again, try to get back to some levels of normalcy as we move into the next year. So I just wanted to stop in. I don't want to be long-winded. You have a lot of folks here, I'm sure, will be talking about our agenda as we move forward. But I want you to know that you have a partner in me, that we're here simply to serve the community. We're not here to play politics or any of that. My job is to be the cheerleader, chief cheerleader and defender of this borough. We're going to do that each and every day working with you. And I'm looking for input. What are some things that we can do? What are some things? That's okay, David. but what are some things we can do, to make the office better? So we'll look the suggestion, not to say that it wasn't. I want to give credit to both Sharon Lee and Melinda Katz for the work that they've done. But if there are any critiques, I'm not thin-skinned. I'm ready to take that. If there are things you think we can do to make the office better, we're here to listen. And I look forward to the work ahead. So we've hit the ground running. We have a few events coming up over the course of the next few days. We have a job fair. We also have an Alzheimer's event tomorrow. We also have an educational parents meeting tomorrow, and over the course of the next 2 days. So as we put this information out, please disseminate it. We need to make sure that, information is getting into everybody's hands. So I want to thank you once again, and I look forward to the work ahead, and look forward to making sure that we build a Queens that works for everyone. So thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that, Borough President Richards, and congratulations, and excited, very excited to work with you going forward. Really appreciate it. Assemblymember Weber, I think that you also wanted to say a few words tonight. So I'm just gonna unmute you here. You're on mute right now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think the last Community Board 11 meeting that I came in person, Susan Seinfeld was still the district manager. And when, my schedule in Albany obviously is altered, with the pandemic and what's been happening. But I did have, some time tonight, and I heard there was a Community Board 11 meeting, and I really wanted to, just tune in and let you know that we're available. We've been working remotely, but we're probably gonna phase in going back to a regular, not a regular schedule, but a safe opening probably in January. But even now, we've been answering the calls. The calls roll over, and we've been handling constituent problems. But we will be doing it by appointment only meetings probably starting in January. Our main office is on Union Turnpike in Fresh Meadows, Union Turnpike around, 187th Street, Chevy Chase Street, actually. And we do have another office in Richmond Hill. That's how, long and narrow my district is. So we have an office on Atlantic Avenue by the Atlantic Diner. But of course, if we can help on anything, let me know. Anthony Lemma usually sits in on these meetings. He's on tonight also. And he'll, he'll be still the liaison, and we'll get involved. But I, it's nice to be on in person. In some ways, Zoom makes it easier, in a sense, because you can, Zoom in. I actually had 4 back-to-back Zoom meetings yesterday on a Sunday, which I normally would not have been able to do from all over. But that's a little advantage of Zoom. But please. Let me know if there are any particular issues that I could be of help at. I actually went to the local precinct council, I guess about a month or two ago as well. And they're actually one of the few precinct councils that have had in-person meetings, which is unusual throughout the city. But, I did point out to the precinct that, it seems like a thankless job these days to be a police officer, and you know, I still and our constituents still appreciate the work that they do to maintain public safety. And, you know, some crime has, you know, peaked up a little bit. And, you know, there's been, you know, gun violence. And, you know, I am a strong advocate for funding the police, not defunding the police. I've, you know, been actively vocal against the defund the police movement. And you know, I supported police reform. At the same time, we need more police. We need more community policing. We need more. And one of the things about Queens and the precincts that I represent in Queens is, and I have, I think, four or five different police precincts in my assembly district, is that we have very good community relations. You know, we used to, you know, actively enjoy, you know, the National Night Out, which we didn't have this summer, obviously, because of the pandemic. But it's really important to keep close relationships between the community and the local police precinct. And maybe other parts of the city don't have that same relationship, but we certainly do in Queens, and we want to, you know, keep it. And, you know, I just want to let you know I'm available, and from time to time I'll make a cameo appearance. And I just thank you for giving me the opportunity to say hello to everybody and wish everybody a happy holiday season. I know it's been an unusual season. This was an unusual Thanksgiving. I know my family usually has about 40 or 50 people at my aunt's house for Thanksgiving. This year, it was just my wife, myself, and one of my sons. So obviously, I'm sure every family went through their own, you know, change in the schedule. And, you know, despite all of that, we hope everybody, you know, has happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, a happy Kwanzaa, and enjoys the holiday season. And hopefully with the vaccine coming, we'll all be through this and we can have a normal holiday season next year. But in the meantime, I want to thank you all for the service that you do for all of us in the community. And I just want to let you know we're available, and thank you for your service.
Thank you very much, Assemblyman. Really appreciate that. And thank you for joining us tonight. Certainly wish you a happy holidays as well. Thank you. Okay, I think we are going to move on to our public participation. We have three people signed up tonight. And first up is Lauren DeFonte. Lauren, are you here? I think I saw you earlier.
Yes, I am.
All right, perfect. Hello. Lauren, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
Perfect. Thank you all so much for providing this opportunity. As mentioned, my name is Lauren DeFont, and I'm a CUNY graduate student. So I wanted to just take a few minutes to share with you all about some food insecurity issues that are happening in the city and a piece of legislation that's currently been proposed in the city council that may help address this issue. So food insecurity in New York City, amongst school children specifically, has been an ongoing issue that has been particularly exacerbated by the COVID-19 crisis. Before the start of the pandemic, 18% of New York City school children were food insecure. And in the 2016-2017 school year, over 71% of those children received free or reduced priced lunches. However, since March, 1 in 4 households with children under 18 report a child experiencing hunger as a result of COVID, and 1 in 3 report a child has lost weight during this time period. So really some staggering statistics. Additionally, 30% of households are now unable to pay for food they need, 54% are eating less healthy than before the pandemic, and 30% are reporting that they've run out of food before they had money to pay for new groceries. While New York City has a history of offering some pretty extensive meal programs within the schools, including offering free lunch to all school children, regardless of income, and providing summer meals to all students across the city, COVID-19 has been a particular struggle to get meals to families that need it. The Department of Education was able to implement quite rapidly some grab-and-go style programs where students could get meals that they needed, breakfast and lunch. However, there's more that can be done to kind of resolve this issue and help ensure students and children are not going hungry, particularly approaching the issue in a more strategic manner. So recently, public advocate Jermaine Williams introduced policy 2057-2020, local law to amend the administrative code within the city of New York in relation to establishing an emergency student food plan. And this would build upon a lot of the prior policies and work that the city has done to ensure that no child goes hungry. this specific piece of legislation would require the city to work collaboratively across agencies to develop a student food plan. Particularly involved in this policy would be the Office of Emergency Management, the Mayor's Office of Food Policy, and the Department of Education. And this would ensure that there was a plan in place to provide 3 meals a day to students if schools are closed by the governor, the mayor, the chancellor, or when remote learning is in place. The goal specifically is to ensure that in the event of an emergency or public health crisis that shutters schools, students will still be able to receive the meals that they would normally receive in school and ensure their food security. By having a specific collaborative plan in place, New York City would be able to rapidly respond to changes in learning structure and scale up meal programs in the event of unplanned closures. Specifically, what I'd like to ask all of you is to support Introduction 2057-2020 to ensure that students have this plan in place and that they do not miss meals that they need to really develop in school and continue to learn and grow.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Certainly sounds like an important piece of legislation. Do you know when it's supposed to come up with the council?
I can follow up with that. I know it was introduced, I want to say earlier in the summer, so it's still going through the process, but I'll follow up on that.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you
that,
for this opportunity.
Of course. Thank you very much. Next up in public participation is Joan Jaworski, who is a resident of Auburndale. Mr. Jaworski, are you here this evening? Okay. Just going to move on then. And I believe next up is Mr. Stephen Williams. Mr. Williams, I see you there. There you go. Perfect.
Thank you, Michael. Can I share my screen? It would be okay. I just want to show your team some information. Would that be okay?
Joe, can you give Mr. Williams the ability to screen share here?
You should be good to go.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, it's not coming up. Okay, I'll just talk. My PowerPoint's not coming up. I'll just talk very briefly. Thank you, folks, for allowing me this time to speak to you all of today. I represent a program called the Accessible Dispatch Program. It's a program that connects the community to wheelchair accessible taxis all throughout the five boroughs of New York City. It operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No enrollment is necessary. Everyone is eligible. And these cars are larger cars that can hold a wheelchair and additional passengers. And the great thing about this program is that these cars cost the same. The fare is the same as a regular taxi cab. And all the drivers are trained in wheelchair securement. So you get a larger car and you get someone who's trained to assist people in and out the vehicle, as well as safely securing their wheelchair with inside the vehicle. People can access our service by calling our dispatch call center. They can book trips by booking trips on our website, or they can use our mobile app, which is free. People can book trips on demand, or they can book future reservation trips. And what I'll do is I will put the information for the actual call center, dispatch call center, in the chat so you guys can have access to that information. But it's a great program for seniors and also the disabled community. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. That sounds like a great program. We actually have limitations on our usage of the chat, just for some of the security reasons that have come up with Zoom. But what I would say is if you can send the information to Joe at the office, we can make sure that we disseminate it with our weekly digest and get it out to our listserv so that people have access to the information. And Joe, maybe we can put the flyer up on our social media accounts as well. This is actually a program I wasn't familiar with, which means there must be other people who weren't familiar with it as well. And it seems like a great program. So appreciate that, Mr. Williams.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, folks.
Okay. Have a great night. So I think that was the last speaker that I had on public.
Mike, yes. Excuse me. Mrs. Jaworski can't unmute herself for some reason.
Okay. I'm going to look for Mrs. Jaworski now and see if I can unmute her. Do you know if she's calling in from a mobile phone?
I don't know if it's mobile or landline.
Her name doesn't appear to be here.
Yes, that's it. The issue is, Henry, is that I can't locate who she is by, I'll tell you what, Joe, why don't you unmute everybody here for 1 second? Mr. Worski, if you can hear me, we're going to unmute everybody if you can just start speaking. Mr. Worski?
There she is.
Hello.
Hello, we hear you.
Great.
Yeah.
Mr. Worski, go ahead. You have the floor.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Good evening. I'm a resident for over 40 years in Auburndale. And because of the increases in the houses and many more cars, I wonder if we could have a review of making these.
Huh?
Joe, I think we, wait, Mr. Worski, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. We can hear you. I heard you say because of the increase in cars, you wanted to see if we could have a review of, and then we lost you.
A review of making our streets and avenues a one-way. I know some people probably don't like it, but when you're driving and you have to pull over to let another car through, unless you lose your mirror, there's something that has to be done with that. The cars are much bigger. We have a lot of these courtesy vans over here, and we just can't see, and you can't pass safely. And that's my whole request right now.
Okay, and I appreciate that, and I think it's an issue that all of us here in Northeast Queens deal with. Our streets very significantly.
I'm sure anybody that drives 100%. Has the same problem.
So we have a process for that, and there's a process to go through with the Department of Transportation where we can, you know, try and make requests on particular initiatives. So what I would say, Mr. Worski, is if you have a particular street that you think would benefit from being one way, please contact our office, and you can speak to you know, Christina, Jane, Joe, and we can take that information and run it through the proper channels.
I don't think it's one street. I'm talking about a whole area. It's not any particular street at all. No, it's the whole area.
Understood. I think, you know, okay, fair enough. If there is a particular street you can think of and you want to contact the office, we're happy to the process. Okay. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you very much. Okay. Good time. Night.
Good night. Okay. That wraps up public participation, everybody. So we're going to move on to roll call followed by acceptance of the minutes from our November meeting. Or vote on that. Those were circulated in advance. So as usual, please bear with us while we go through each board member's name for attendance, and then we do it again for a voice vote on the acceptance of the November minutes. We're going to be unmuting participants for this purpose, so just please do me a favor and remain quiet unless you're called on. And then once you're called on, if you can go unmute again. Okay, Joe, you want to just unmute folks and knock it out?
Okay. All right, everybody. Starting with Scylla Asa.
Here.
Aviles?
Here.
Bale?
Here.
Bind?
Here.
Bravo?
Here.
Budabin?
Here.
Cerezo? Sue Cerezo?
You have salads?
Susan? I saw her here just a few minutes ago. Oh, yeah. Okay, I see you, Sue. You're on mute, though. Justin Chu?
Here.
Sharon Chin?
Here.
Claro?
Here.
Cayado?
Here.
Daedris?
Here.
December?
Here.
Di Benedetto?
Here all the time.
Donahue. Mary Donahue.
Thanks.
Euler.
Here.
Ferrazzoli.
Here.
Filas. Sharippa? Joan, you still with us?
Here.
Okay.
Here.
Okay, I gotcha. Gillespie?
Here.
Golia?
Here.
Chadis? Haber?
Here.
Hader?
Here.
James? Jethwani? Okay, I see you. Stan Jin?
Here.
Kelly?
Here.
Linda Lee?
Here.
Joseph Lee? Liotto?
Here.
Martino?
Here.
Mahalsis?
Here.
Miller?
Yeah.
Montgomery?
Yes.
Paulzer? Alan, you still here? Okay, I'm looking at you, Alan.
Here.
Patel? Here. Pelbier?
Here.
Pavour?
Present.
Popa?
Here.
Rastogi?
Yes.
Shearer?
Here.
Shiram?
Here.
Turner?
Here.
Wong?
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum, folks.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Joe. So we're going to move on now. It's time to vote on the acceptance of the November minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
Moved.
Okay, I think I heard Sam. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second.
Okay, I heard Stefan with the first second. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to call the question. Joe, can you run through it one more time, please?
Sure. Asa? Sella?
Sorry, I was muted. Yes.
Okay. Aviles?
Yes.
Bale?
Yes.
Bind?
Yes.
Bravo?
Yes.
Budabin?
Yes.
Cerezo?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Chin?
Yes.
Clyro?
Yes.
Cayado?
Yes.
Daedrus?
Yes.
December?
Abstain.
Di Benedetto?
Yes.
Euler?
Yes.
Ferrazzoli?
Yes.
Freed?
Yes.
Gallatin?
Yes.
Gariffa?
Yes.
Gillespie?
Yes.
Golia?
Yes.
Haber?
Yes.
Hader?
Present. I wasn't here for the meeting, so I don't.
Okay. Yes, you can vote present.
Yeah.
Jethwani?
Present.
Jin?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Linda Lee?
Yes.
Liotto?
Yes.
Martino?
Here.
Yes.
Mahalsis?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Montgomery?
Yes.
Paulzer?
Yes.
Patel?
Yes.
Pelbier?
Yes.
Pavour?
Yes.
Popa?
Yes.
Rastogi?
Yes.
Shearer?
Yes.
Shiram?
Present.
Turner?
Yes.
And Wong.
Yeah.
Okay, the motion passes, folks. Did I miss anybody? Okay, the motion passes. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, thanks very much, and Joe, and thanks everybody for bearing with us that. Joe, can you just mute everybody again?
Sure.
Okay, thank you very much. So it's now time for my announcements this month. And the first thing that I wanted to note, it's an announcement that we made a couple of weeks ago to the board as a whole, but I wanted to make sure that we took the time to recognize this during the meeting as well, that long-term board member and our friend, Alex Ugadaev, passed in September of this year. Extremely tragic, and we're all going to miss him. And I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge that at the meeting and ask that y'all please join me in a moment of silence for Alex. You can all memorialize him for now. Thank you, I appreciate that. So I am just going to talk a little bit about what we've done this last month. We did have some activity with some online web forms that a lot of us were waiting on and had been preparing for with the Destination Greenways program. I know a lot of people from the community board participated in one of the two events, which is really, really great. I thought that there was a lot of community involvement. There was, you know, it was run by a mixture of the DOT and Parks Department. So it was really a focus on the greenways and the parks and also the connections there. But I think there was some real value, and we are going to be running our sort of review of what happened through our subcommittee and the Transportation Committee and back to the board. So there is going to be some further discussion on that. I wanted everybody to know. But you know, it's a longer term project, so we are going to sort of take our time and consider everything and sort of, you know, work through the feedback, you know, on the web forums that occurred. We also had a combined meeting of the Douglaston Zoning Commission, Zoning Committee, and Environmental Committee to talk about some of the coastal flooding amendment that we're going to be talking about tonight. You're going to hear about that. You know, it was a little bit quieter this month at the board, but the holidays here, and it's going to be the same way in December. We have some things going on, but not quite as hectic as it has been for the few months prior to that. I know we all have our hands full dealing with everything that's going on with COVID in the fall and the holidays coming. I do hope that, you know, notwithstanding the difficult circumstances, everybody was able to have a good Thanksgiving holiday. There was a piece of very positive news and an exciting thing that I wanted to talk about this evening during my announcements. And that is that Alan Paulzer, a member of our board, is celebrating his 50th anniversary as a board member of Community Board 11. Mm-hmm. So I think it's worthwhile. Maybe we can unmute ourselves and give Alan a round of applause.
Poor thing.
You must be rich by now, Alan, 50 years on the really? Board, all that, all the pay you've gotten for this. So in all seriousness, though, this is a huge accomplishment, not just for Alan personally, but for our board, because last year, Bernie Haber, another of our board members, became the first person in Queens to reach 50 years on the board. And Alan is this year becoming the second. It's perhaps possible he tied for second with somebody else. I'm not aware of anybody else, frankly, but I might not otherwise be. But this is really a big deal. It shows the longevity of the commitment that people have to Community Board 11. And Alan, you know, really impressed with such, you know, such a long-term commitment to the board. You know, Alan is a resident of Little Neck, and he joined the board in 1970. As I said, that was when Claire Schulman was chair. Over the course of all these years, he served on the board under a number of chairs, including a number of folks who are still on the board now: Eileen, Christine, Bernie, myself, also Jerry, also Steve Newman. We reached out to some people to just try and get, you know, some thoughts about their time with Alan, and everyone was just so very positive about it. We actually did, Alan, get a communication when we reached out, a letter from Carol Hunt, who was an executive serving with you at the Jamaica Service Program for Older Adults, where I understand that you worked with her, and she just had glowing things to say about your commitment to community service and all the work that you did, you know, for that organization which I understand was part of Community Board 12. So we weren't the only ones, you know, who were getting the benefit of your dedication and your good work. And historically, or at least last year, when Bernie hit this milestone, we were able to celebrate in person. Unfortunately, we're not able to do that this year. But I know that, Bernie, I believe you got a plaque last year from the Queensboro President's Office, and that hasn't happened this year, probably due to the pandemic. So we went ahead, Alan, and took it upon ourselves to pick something up for you, which I have here, and I just wanted to show people. It's a plaque that we had made for Alan to commemorate his 50 years. It's got the New York State flag at the top, and it says Queens Community Board 11, thanks Alan Pulser for 50 years of dedicated service to Northeast Queens, 1970 to 2020. So Alan, we're gonna be presenting this to you in person, but I thought it made sense to be able to show it to the board as a whole. And truly thank you and congratulations.
Michael.
Thank you.
Michael. Yes. Mike.
Yes.
I had the pleasure and honor of working with him on the board for 35 years and longer. He has been one of the most productive and involved member of our community, and I appreciate everything, and therefore I want to thank him personally. But there's a motion. I want a motion to double his salary, please.
Another good one from Mohan. Thank you, Mohan. Very kind words. Appreciate
Michael,
that.
Michael?
Yes.
You can put me on for a minute. Something that the board ought to know, that Alan was the vice chairman of the board from 1972 to 1996. When term limitations came into being. So it's 24 years. In addition, he served with me, we served together for that period of time. Great vice chairman. The other thing that I have for you, Alan, which I found and I framed it and I'm going to deliver it to your house. Fortunately, it's upstairs. I'm not going to get it, but I'll describe it to you. It is the first approximately 19 members of the community board appointed in 1969 and 1970. And Alan is on that list of 19 people. And I found the register of those 19 people, and I put it in a frame, and I'll bring it over to your house. And you'll enjoy it, and you'll try to remember all those people, the first 19 that, with their addresses. And I'm pretty sure you and I may be the only survivors left. So anyway, I'll get that over to your house. Congratulations, Alan.
That's lovely. Thank you, Bernie. Yeah, Eileen.
Okay, I just wanted to say, Alan has been such an inspiration to our board. His experience alone has affected our community in a very positive way. It has been an honor to have such a fine gentleman achieve a milestone of 50 years. Thank you, Alan, for your hard work and dedication for the past 50 years. Thank you.
Let me say one more thing, Mike.
Thank you, Alan.
I think Alan is probably the second person in New York City to be on a community board continuously for 50 years.
I think you may very well be right about that. I wanted to be careful about making claims that I wasn't 100% sure of, but I think you're probably right about that. Christine, did you want to say something as well?
Okay. Yes, I have, congratulations, Alan, first of all. And it's always been a pleasure to work with you. And I came in 1992, and and I know that all the projects that we've been on, you've always been a gentleman, and you've always kind of seen what we could do to benefit the situation, no matter what it is. I know that seniors have always been, you know, close to your heart, and make sure they get the advocacy that they deserve. And I'm just very, very pleased. Thank you very much. We should have more board members like you. Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Christine. So, Alan, just one more time, congratulations. Truly a very significant accomplishment. We appreciate all your hard work and dedication. Okay, so with that good news, we're going to move on to the public hearing portion of our meeting. And I think first up is BSA calendar number 227-10BZ for 204-12 Northern Boulevard. Christine, that's in your area. Do you want to take that over?
Right. Okay. Yes. Okay. So, we met with Ms. Folder. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, on November 9th. And we had a Zoom conference, and I was there, Henry was there, Ocelia, Mary, Christina Shearer, and Sam Wong, along with Joseph and Jane, and Christina, and of course, Elise Folder. Are you here tonight, Elise? No? No. Okay.
Yes. Very yes, good. I am.
So, Oh, you are?
I'm here.
Excellent.
Just in case you have any questions.
Yes, I appreciate that. Basically, this is a gas station which is BP, and you know, Elise explained that they're basically not going to do anything to this store. Mary Donna, you asked where the used oil would be stored, and we saw where it was on the plans in the back of the lot, and that the oil waste will be at the rear of the property on the east side of the property. She also stated that there will be plantings on all sides of the site, including 19 Japanese yews and 19 winter creepers. Now, they tell me winter creepers repel rodents. Okay, fine, good. All right, so Mr. Euler commented that the site is well maintained, and Ms. Folder added that it will be maintained exactly as it is now. I inquired about any on-site lighting to make sure it wouldn't be, shining. There is property owners in the back of the lot. She wanted to make sure that it will not shine there. So Ms. Folger said that the new lighting protocol requirement for the New York City Board of Standards and Appeals will be followed. And they will be field testing to ensure it does not shine onto any of the properties. Ms. Clara reported that she recently visited the site and thinks it looks fine. Mr. Euler added that there have not been many complaints from his civic association, Auburndale Improvement. However, Mr. Euler requested that two commercial signs, advertising signs for cigarettes be removed. Ms. Shearer commented that there is a do-it-yourself car wash on the site that was never there before. Brief discussion ensued regarding this topic. Mrs. Hayter added that where it was located on the property could be a problem, creating traffic on Northern Boulevard and creating water runoff in the street. Ms. Shearer added she was not sure there was a drain at the location. She suggested that BP relocate the car wash. Ms. Folder will speak with BP about the issues raised about the car wash.
Did you get the responded to the...
I did get that, yes.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Yeah. So anyway, she was going to check about the car wash and so forth, and whether they can even have it on the premises, because a lot of the variances that I've seen do not have, will not allow car washes. She was going to confirm that, which she has. So they're requesting a 10-year term extension. And the current variance expired in September of 2020. That's pretty good. Mr. Euler made a motion to approve the application with a 10-year term and the conditions that the cigarette advertising signs are removed and further information regarding the car wash is provided. Mrs. Hayter second the motion. All were in favor and the motion passed unanimously. Now, I understand. No, Ms. Folger, if you're there, update us on those two questions that we had.
Okay, so I'm not going to put on my video if that's okay. Because I don't think it'll be helpful. But I don't know if you got it, but I provided photographs from November 19, 2020 showing the cigarette signs were removed.
Great, thank you.
And then for the car wash machine and the drainage, I also provided photographs, and I'll provide the response with the, you obviously can't see the photographs now, but your community board should have them. But the water from the self-serve wash stations flows freely into the two drainage structures near the first wash station. Enclosed, please find photographs of the drainage from November 19, 2020. The car wash machine can be relocated if necessary. However, should the wash machines be relocated or shifted along the same side of the site, the water flow will not be affected as the site is pitched properly towards the drainage structures. I didn't write this, but in the photographs, you can see the drainage structures. As for the traffic flow, there's ample space for two vehicles entering and exiting along the car at the wash station, which allows for maneuverability in and out of the site. Enclosed, please find a photograph of cars entering and exiting the site from November 19, 2020. And in that, you can see someone using the car wash machine and cars enter and exiting and how they don't collide with one another in those photographs.
Okay, now the one question I have is a car wash allowed to be in a gas station?
Yes, with the BSA's permission.
It can be if we say that it's okay to have?
Yes, that it now, happens all the time. That
I know I have reams of paper here that goes back to all the variances, but has it ever had one, to your knowledge?
This one on the previous approval did not have a car wash station on the previous approval. I don't want to speak before that because I don't know what happened.
Yeah, and I really don't know. But okay, now, Henry, you took a walk by the place the other day.
Yes, this morning, as a matter of fact. Yes, I will. I walked by the site this morning. There are actually two car wash machines on this property. The one towards the front has two drains by it, but the one in the rear, when I looked this morning, was a sheet of ice. So apparently the drainage is not very good from the rear one towards the front if the ice is forming in the rear like that. I must say that the station otherwise is in good shape. The landscaping is good, and the cigarette advertising signs were removed. And this had been on a short leash for 5-year term before because of all the wrecks that had been stored on the site in the past. Right. But since the last BSA hearing 5 years ago, there has been marked improvement. The only thing I'm concerned about as a civic person in the area is the drainage. And I think when we make a motion to approve this, if we do so, that we should also add that we're concerned about the drainage on the car wash machines and how that affects the pavement and if it flows into the boulevard or not.
Right. Well, we did agree to approve it, but what you want to do now is add to that motion.
Yes, please.
I too am very concerned about the water drainage, because if you have something like that, it should have its own drainage.
Right.
You know, when it becomes 20 degrees in the middle of December, you know, somebody's going to break their leg on it.
Well, somebody could have this morning. There was a sheet of ice in the rear one. So that's concerning, as you said.
Okay. So right now we have the motion to approve it for 10 years on the floor with to checking into the
the drainage.
Thank you. I'm doing well. And checking into the drainage now. So how would we want to word that to make the motion, Henry? What do you think? You're very good at that.
Well, the motion would be to approve for a period of 10 years.
But
with concern of the drainage from the rear car wash machine. And also the front one to make sure that it does not go into the boulevard causing problems.
Mm-hmm. So we have two machines. One is further, I didn't get a chance to go over there, I'm sorry. So there's one in the front as you come in.
Right.
That's the one, and then another one's been added since that?
Well, there are two of them. There's been two right along. And the one in the rear is the one that seems to be the problem right now.
Yeah, okay. So I think, Henry, your motion is to approve for 10 years, subject to a concern about drainage with the rear car wash machine, and then confirming that the forward car wash machine doesn't go into the boulevard causing problems, correct?
Exactly. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Is there a second on that motion?
I'll make a second. I'll second.
Thank you, Christine. Any discussion on that motion? Okay, we're going to call the question. Sorry, did I hear somebody?
Wait a minute. Would it be better to ask for removal of one of those car washes since one is already freezing up?
If you only have one, is that you?
Yeah.
Joan, okay,
No problem. So this is discussion on the motion now from Joan. So Joan, go ahead.
Yeah. So wouldn't it be better to remove the one in the rear since that seems to be freezing up and is in effect a hazard for whoever is on the property?
If you consider that to be a friendly amendment, then I would go along with that, Joan.
Well, then
I would. It's one thing to say we approve, but when you say to people, we have a concern about this, then you're kind of leaving the Board of Standards and Appeals to wonder what you want them to do about it. And in reality, I think what you're asking is that one of them be removed so that there isn't a double danger, so to speak, of people being injured.
Well, it could, that's a good point, Joan, very good point, and we're all on the same page, but, if we have one, we have two, maybe we should reword it. Think about this, Henry, because it is your motion, to ask the BSA to, how should we say,
check investigate the drainage. Have a drainage study at the site?
A drainage study, that could be, 12 years, but to look into it because we're afraid of people hurting themselves and, that sort of thing. We could narrow it down a little bit.
I think the language is that I think we're dancing on the head of a pin a little bit if we're not going to ask for removal. So to Joan's point, I think the real question here is, and Henry, you went by there, and the folks that were involved in the committee meeting, did this seem like the kind of thing that couldn't be fixed? Or is if we say this and, at least can talk to the property owner and mention it to them and they can, and they could look at the drainage and see if there's a clog or whatever it is, and that's the question.
This is Chris Shearer. I think that they can put another drain there. They need the two car washes because people are always there washing their cars. You don't want people hanging out on the boulevard. And all they need to do, what I saw, there are two grates there. If they put another grate just a little further down where the second car wash is to attach to the first one, I don't think it would be such a big deal.
I see. Okay.
There are two grates there right now. If they would just move another grate further down, or somehow, so, I think they can probably attach another grate and another pipe in the ground. I don't think it looks like a big deal.
So that's concrete, and I think a useful addition. Christine and Henry, would you be okay to amending your motion to approve
for
additional drain? Yes, Henry, Christine?
Yes.
Okay, the motion is amended. Is there any further discussion?
I think that would solve the problem.
Right.
Okay, hearing none, I'm going to call the question. You guys heard the motion is to approve, subject to adding the additional drain near the car washes. Joe, you want to take a roll on this?
Hold on one second. Okay. Asa?
I approve with the changes.
Okay. That's a full motion. So for everybody else, it would just be a yes or a no on that.
Yeah.
Aviles?
Sorry. Yes.
Bale?
Yes.
Find?
Yes.
Bravo?
Yes.
Budeman?
Yes.
Cerezo?
Yes.
Cerezo?
Yeah.
Chu?
Yes.
Chin?
Yes.
Claro?
Yes.
Cayado?
Yes.
Deidres?
Yes.
December?
Yes.
Di Benedetto?
Yes.
Mueller?
Yes.
Perizzoli?
Yes.
Freed?
Yes.
Gallatin? Gallatin?
Yes. Sorry.
It's okay. Garippa?
Yes.
Gillespie?
Yes.
Golia?
Yes.
Haber?
Yes.
Pater?
Yes.
Jetwani?
Yes.
Jin?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Linda Lee? Yes. Liotto?
Yes.
Martino?
Yes.
Mahaltzis?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Montgomery?
Yes.
Paulzer?
Yes.
Tell?
Yes.
Pelbier?
Yes.
Pavour?
Yes.
Copa?
Yes.
Rastogi?
Yes.
Shearer?
Yes.
Shiram?
Yes.
Turner?
Yes.
Wong?
Yes.
Okay, it's unanimous, everybody. The motion passes.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Henry. Thank you to the committee. Appreciate that. In the interest of time, just going to move on quickly here to BSA calendar number 80855BZ. That's 3504 Bell Boulevard. And Osilia, that is in your zone. Pass it over to you.
Hi, everyone. With your permission, I am not going to read the report. I believe everyone has it, so we can get through this pretty quickly. This application is to renew the variance for a 10-year term for the Amoco station on Bell Boulevard on 35th Avenue. Surprisingly, and very much appreciated, their variance expires next year on March 27th. They're just being proactive and they're trying to get things done prior to the expiration. It's a pretty busy station. I think most of us are very familiar with it. It is pretty much well kept. Although the day of the meeting, I walked there and I noticed that there were some markings on the sidewalk, both on 35th Avenue and on Bell Boulevard. Somewhat faded, but there were X's on the sidewalk. I also noticed that there is a garden area on the southwest corner of the property that looked kind of unkempt. It had some shrubbery, but there was some wrappers and things. It didn't look very neat. And there is also a masonry wall running along the south side of the property, dividing it from the lot next door that needed painting and some repairs. Those were about the only things that I noticed. I brought those points up to Elise that was representing Eric Platnick, who is the attorney for the applicant. She was to get those answers to those questions.
Did you get them?
Today's meeting, and she did.
Okay.
I am happy to report that the masonry wall has a brand new fresh coat of paint. Looks very nice. The garden area in the back has been cleaned up. It looks very neat, very tidy. There was no garbage. It looks very nice back there. And the sidewalk is marked for repairs as soon as weather permits. So they will be redoing all the areas of the sidewalk that needs to be done. They had also closed the station for a couple of days, a couple of months back. The tanks were addressed and everything seems to be okay. As Christine mentioned, there is also going to be fear lighting testing as part of the new rules from the BSA, so that should not be a concern about lighting on the premises and how it affects the neighbors. As far as I know, there are no complaints from any of the neighbors, either regarding the operators of the gas station or the Dunkin' Donut operators on the premises. And that's about it. The motion passed unanimously to approve the variance for a term of 10 years. Our motion also included that the sidewalk be repaired, that the garden area be cleaned up, and the masonry wall be repaired. Now, two of those conditions have been met already. The third is on the books, so to speak, pending weather. So does anybody have any questions?
Hello? Osea, do you want to make a motion?
So we need to amend our motion to say that, make a motion that to approve the application for a term of 10 years, that the sidewalks must be repaired as soon as is possible with weather and with all and any pre-existing conditions from prior variances.
Okay, do I have a second on that?
Second.
Okay, I think I heard Wendy. That was Wendy, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Wendy. Appreciate that. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, hearing none. Joe, I'm going to call the question. Go ahead, Joe, and take a vote, please.
Okay. Asa?
Yes.
Aviles?
Yes.
Bail?
Yes.
Bind?
Yes.
Bravo.
Yes.
Hudobin.
Yes.
Cerezo.
Yes.
Chu.
Yes.
Chin.
Yes.
Claro.
Yes.
Callado.
Yes.
Idris.
Yes.
December.
Yes.
Di Benedetto.
Yes.
Euler.
Yes.
Ferrazzoli.
Yes.
Freed.
Yes.
Gallatin.
Yes.
Larippa?
Yes.
Gillespie?
Yes.
Golia? Mike Golia?
Yes.
Haber?
Yes.
Hader?
Yes.
Chitwani?
Yes.
Jin?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Linda Lee?
Yes.
Liotto?
Yes.
Martino?
Yes.
Mahaltzis?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Montgomery?
Yes.
Balzer?
Hey, what are you doing there?
Allen.
Wake up, Allen.
He's been on for 50 years. Give him a break.
Yes? Okay. Patel?
Yes.
Pelbier?
Yes.
Devour? Steve Pavour. Did I lose you? Steve. I see you're in here. You're the 561.
Steve says yes.
Okay, Steve says yes. Popa.
Yes.
Rastogi.
Yes.
Shearer.
Yes.
Shiram.
Yes.
Turner.
Yes.
Wong.
Yes.
Once again, folks, the approval is unanimous.
Great. Thank you so much, Joe. Osea, thank you so much. Osea, we're just going to stick with you for BSA calendar number 887-54BZ. That's 218-01 Northern Boulevard. Osea, please take it away.
Okay. This is the BP station on Northern Boulevard and 219th Street. Their term expired on June 15, 2020. They had started the process of renewing this. Obviously, with what's going on, it's taken a little bit of time to get things rolling. This application is also to renew the existing variance for a term of 10 years. There is no change in operation.
They have a 7-Eleven on the premises. I walked the premises the day of the meeting. I walked again today. It is really a very well-kept station, very clean, very orderly, very nice, actually. The shrubbery on the north side of the property really do shield the neighbors from the operation itself. There are three entrances to the gas station, one on 219th Street, and there are two curb cuts on Northern Boulevard. I did not notice anything unusual or anything that kind of jumped out at me to make any repairs or anything. I really had nothing to say about it, and neither did anyone on the committee at the time. The only thing that we noticed, and Chris Shearer made the point, that people do tend to exit on Northern Boulevard and make a left to go eastbound, but that is not something that the operator has any control. That's just, in my opinion, people being people and just making bad choices and bad decisions. There is a safe way to do it, and hopefully most of the people do use that entrance and that exit on 219th Street, where there is a traffic light to make a left on Northern Boulevard safely. And there was nothing to report on that. I did also notice that the owner of the property is also the lessee on record of the property. So that's usually a very good sign that the owner of the property is working the property. So I don't anticipate any problems with them. There have been no reports of any problems with this gas station.
I have to come back and get my water.
The committee made a motion to approve the application for a term of 10 years, and it passed unanimously.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Celia? Hearing none. Celia, you want to make a motion?
Let's make a motion to approve this application for a term of 10 years.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Joe, who'd you get there? Okay, Joe's speaking on mute, so I couldn't hear him, but we got somebody on the second?
I think I had Jyoti on that, sorry.
Okay, we got Jyoti on the second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, I'm going to call the question. Joe?
Okay, folks. Scylla?
You got it.
Vilas?
Yes.
Bale? Karen Bale?
Yes.
Bind?
Yes.
Bravo?
Yes.
Budabin?
Yes.
Cerezo?
Yes.
Chu?
Are you kidding yes. me?
Chin? Sharon Chin?
Yes.
Claro?
Yes.
Cayado?
Yes.
Dadris?
Yes.
December?
Yes, my month.
Di Benedetto?
Yes.
Everybody's got jokes today. Euler?
Yes.
Ferrazzoli?
Yes.
Freed?
Yes.
Gallatin?
Yes.
Galippa?
Yes.
Gillespie?
Yes.
Golia?
Yes.
Haber?
Yes.
Hader?
Yes.
Chetwani? Mohan? You're on mute, Mohan.
Yes.
Okay. Jin?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Linda Lee?
Yes.
Rob Liotto?
Yes.
Martino?
Yes.
Mihaltas?
Yes.
Miller? Yeah, you're nay, Eileen.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Montgomery?
Aye, aye.
Colzer? Allen? Allen, yay or nay?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Patel.
Yes.
Belbier.
Yes.
Gavour.
Yes.
Popa.
Yes.
Rastogi.
Yes.
Shearer.
Yes.
Shiram.
Yes.
Turner.
Yes.
And Wong.
Yes.
All right, folks, another unanimous pass. Congratulations.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate that. Ocelia, thank you. And to the committee, Joe, appreciate it. Okay, that finishes up our public hearing for the BSA. And we're going to move on to the zoning for coastal flood resiliency zoning text amendment hearing. And with that, I'm going to introduce our esteemed committee chairs, Douglas Montgomery and Henry Euler, who were co-chairs at this joint meeting, to speak. Please. Floor is yours, gentlemen.
Henry, go ahead.
Okay. Well, we had the meeting back on November 18th, the joint meeting, and Scott Solomon came from New York City Department of City Planning from the Queen's office to explain the proposal. And basically what it does is that it relaxes the zoning regulations in the floodplain areas so that people can fix their homes so that they become more resilient to floods that may be occurring in the future. One thing that bothered me a little bit was that I was asking about what would happen, what's going to happen as we go to the future and we have people that want to develop in a floodplain area. And, you know, a lot of people feel that we should be very careful the way we develop in a floodplain area because of the situation with the various storms and stuff. As of now, as of 2020, 15% of the landmass in New York City lies in a floodplain area. And by 2050, they expect 25% of the landmass of New York City to be in a floodplain area due to sea level rises caused by climate change. So any future development in floodplain areas has to be approached very cautiously, I believe anyway. Scott responded that there was really nothing in the new zoning, this new resiliency plan that addresses that that situation. You know, as I read through some of the material, I did notice that they noted that there were certain areas where they could do some kind of infrastructure measures to protect the area from flooding, and therefore maybe that those areas would be capable of further development. But there are also areas in our that would not be able to do that. They would not be able to do any kind of measure, and therefore those areas should be have restricted development. Interesting thing that I thought was that the City Planning Department had various town hall presentations of this this new initiative throughout the city in different areas that contain flood zones, but we never had such a town hall meeting where residents could come and hear about the proposal and make suggestions and voice their opinions here in Northeast Queens. And we appreciate very much that Scott came to our joint meeting to tell us about it, but I think it would also have been good to have the community residents also been able to participate and give their opinions. So, Doug, do you want to continue?
Yeah, thank you. We spoke to Scott, and first of all, my major concern was for the neighborhood if they put those floodgates up, which they proposed a year and a half ago at the Throgs Neck Bridge, it would basically sign our death warrant. Because all the water would then flood into our entire neighborhood. We've since found out that that proposal by Army Corps of Engineers has been completely withdrawn. So it's no longer a factor. I also had a couple questions because I am from an area that's landmarked. There's no specific guidance on construction in landmark areas as it pertains to the FEMA flood zone maps, which I've been trying to get for several years now. And he brought up a concept about getting generators into houses. I don't know if anyone in New York City has tried to get a generator into their house, but it's almost impossible to get a permit. So most of the generators out there are or have been installed illegally. So he said he'd get back to us regarding the generators. He would get back to us regarding the flood zone designation as it pertains to landmark neighborhoods. And just other advice for us regarding our neighborhood. I mean, Little Neck, I mean, from Great Neck, that whole side, Douglas Manor, Doug Bay, areas in Whitestone and Bayside will all be affected. I mean, the Cross Island could be affected also,
right,
which is a major thoroughfare. So we just wanted some more clarification, which is why we didn't take a committee vote at the time. We just wanted you all to be aware of what we discussed with him and that we're moving forward with it.
Doug, did we ever get any further follow-up from Scott?
He's sent a little bit, but not quite what I was expecting before this meeting. And rather than give a partial presentation on what he's proposing, that doesn't make sense to me. I would say that let's wait till the next meeting, and he'll have a chance to get us the proper information we need so that we can go forward as a community board and take an initiative and a vote towards this.
Joe, am I right that we're time barred if we don't vote tonight on this?
Yes, if we don't vote tonight on this, we will waive our right to take a vote on it.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll make the motion that what exactly are we voting on? What's the wordage of the voting?
Voting this resolution. This.
The text amendment.
The text amendment, right.
Then Henry, make a motion and I'll second it.
Okay, well, I would make a motion that we approve the zoning for coastal flood resiliency with the proviso that this Department of City Planning give more details about how future development would develop in floodplain areas, and also what you said, Doug, which was
the issues regarding we need to get more clarification on landmark status, how it affects the FEMA plans, and installation of backup generators into the houses.
Mm-hmm. So I think what we're saying, if I understand correctly, Henry, the motion is to approve, but to note that we continue to remain concerned. Well, one second, Bernie, and then take the question. That we continue to remain concerned
Is there a map that shows the revised floodplain?
And yes.
That's been issued.
It's the FEMA maps is readily available on online. So they're running by the FEMA map right now. That doesn't really bear any consequence to what's going to happen to us in 30 years. So we want to address that again moving forward, so that we can be prepared to protect ourselves as well as we can from the flooding that will happen in our neighborhood in the next couple decades.
Yeah, and Joe is sharing the map that we have, that we received.
That map was given to the board members?
Yes.
Everything was sent out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and guys, just for the record, I'm gonna just say one more time out loud what I think the motion is, just so we can make sure we get it on the floor here, okay? So I think it was Henry made a motion to approve the text amendment, subject to noting that we continue to remain concerned about future development in floodplain areas, concerned about how this development would affect landmark districts, and be concerned about approving people to legally put generators into their homes. Is that accurate, Henry?
Yes.
Yes.
Doug, you second that?
Yeah.
Okay, is there any discussion on the motion?
Mike, I'm sorry. Yes,
Mike.
Yes.
I have a question for this. I'm sorry. Douglas, why would you then, why approve it? What is the benefits to approving it over your concerns?
Because, you know, it's kind of like the corner property of Northern and Douglaston Parkway. It's going to get approved, but if we can let the city know exactly what our concerns are, then it's on record.
Uh-huh. Also, we have to take motions in the affirmative and then vote no if you want to vote no to not approve something. But the motions themselves have to be in the affirmative. So it's a motion.
Yeah. I'm just wondering what his concern was. That's all. I just want to know what was weighing on his shoulders. Like, I'm trying to get, like, it sounds like he's not too positive about it.
Well, it's a reasonable question.
Mike?
If I can respond, I love the fact that they took the initiative to do this, but there's a lot of issues specific to our neighborhood that we have to address that aren't taken into effect in their proposal, right, which is why we brought all of our issues to Scott. And he said he would address them.
Mohan, one second, Mohan, because Paul was next, and then you can go right after Paul.
Thank you, Michael. I just don't, I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Hello, I have the floor. Thank you. I'm not sure of having of the prudence of approving any text amendment. I do like what you're thinking on it, Doug, regarding that we're in the loop and we're showing we're interested in it, but I'm not sure if we should approve any amendment that we don't know specifically what they'll do in our district. So I'm not, we don't want to say yes to anything that, and I want to make sure that we're not at least saying yes to anything that would mean that, yeah, CB 11 supports this when really we don't necessarily support it.
Well, okay. Again, I think it comes back to supporting the concept with our objections and our need for clarification on specific ideas.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, we have to do something, the entire city has to do something about the potential of another massive Sandy. Mm-hmm. So they're at least trying to, and we're trying to say, okay, we know what you're doing, but these are what the CB 11 board has issues with that need to be addressed.
Right. Okay.
Right. Thank you. And I just want to make sure though that when we do vote, we're not voting on what we've been presented with, because we shouldn't be approving, because it seems not specific at this point. And I would vote no in that case, unless I had specificity as to what we're voting on when you make the amendment, the motion. Thank you.
Michael?
Sorry, one second, Mohan. Joe, the text amendment was circulated, right?
Yeah.
Yes, the materials in the slide deck from Scott was presented. Essentially, this text amendment makes it easier in contextual residential zoning maps within the floodplain to be able to put, in order to put those buildings to retrofit them, essentially to raise them, so that way they are better equipped for floods. The question hanging over our head is whether or not this text amendment, which we think is probably a good thing, goes far enough that it would be applicable, say, in our landmark district, which is where the majority of our floodplain exists. So that's I think that's kind of what everyone is saying.
That's my point. Understood. That's my point. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. And thank you, Joe. Mohan?
Yeah, Just one thing. What does the word concern mean?
I think
they're concerns, but you want to know what you want them to do.
Well, listen, I think what we're saying, and the reason it's being said, is that from an administrative perspective, right, this is not going back to the drawing board based off of our input, is what I think Doug and Henry are saying, and I agree. So we're trying to put, the question here is, given the fact that I think what people are saying is that there's concerns that this potentially falls short in terms of detail in our district, do we think from an up or down perspective that we should go up or we should go down? And some people are saying they think it should go up. but that we will communicate at the same time, along with our vote, our concerns as it relates to our district specifically. So we'll be saying yes or no, we approve it as it stands, knowing that that's essentially what our option is from a practical perspective, but that we're going to communicate our response, our concerns for our district that go along with that. Is that fair, Doug and Henry?
Yes. But don't you want to just tell them that subject to the further submission of amplification or clarification?
It's not coming, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is not coming back to us for a vote for this current.
No, it's not. Amendment. No.
So I just think, Mohan, this is just a big question of what's actually going to happen. There's no one that's going to hear our feedback, revise this current text amendment, and come back and present it to us. That's just not the process that's happening with this particular text amendment.
Mike, will there be a letter that goes with this?
But if we communicate our concerns, I leave it to Joe as to whether that's by email or by letter, but we would.
But I mean a cover stating.
Yes, we would, as the board office, when we got that kind of a, if a vote happened that said, and we want to express our concerns, we'd put that in writing along with communicating, you know, whether we went up or down on this.
And just to be clear, those concerns were expressly delivered to Scott.
Right.
And
right.
I told him this is what we're majorly concerned about, because we don't have a choice. We can vote no, and then we have no say because they're going to vote anyway.
Well, we could say, we could vote no, Doug, and tell them why we voted no also. I mean, I don't think that it's not that we can't vote no. It's the question of what the effect of that is.
No, we can vote no, but I think if we want our voice to be heard, we have to lay out what our major concerns are so that it's on record.
And what do you want them to do? Just the concern is a very weak word.
Yeah, well, I hear that, although I think it's you know, look, we're not all of us land use experts and, you know, flood zone experts. I think what we're saying is that these are the issues that we want to see addressed. And at least I don't personally think it's unreasonable to ask that, you know, that essentially what we're saying is we want you to continue work, you know, in this area. And these are the issues we want you to continue to work on for us. I think that's the basic idea, Mohan. I don't know that we have the exact answers as to how this would go from an engineering perspective, you know, in conjunction with the zoning text amendments. It's that we want to hear, I think, to see some attention paid to this. And Joan, apologies, but Joan, I think you were waiting to speak.
Yes, I have several things. As far as Little Neck is concerned, Little Neck Bay is, I think, as developed as it's possible to be, and they're already having water problems, as is Doug Bay, and I'm sure Jyoti wants to say something about that. The fact of the matter is that the more you build in a particular area on a floodplain, the more chance you have of having flooding, because there's less land and more buildings. I don't see that the city basically is addressing these things. We're getting a plan here for having everybody go ahead and raise your building, in which case you're encouraging people to build where they shouldn't be building. Mm-hmm. I don't see anything that says we're not going to permit further construction in floodplains, which is really what you want. There have been television programs where they're going through all of this because we're not the only ones. Japan has this and Venice has this and what have you. And in other countries, Japan being the one that I think of real quick, having seen it recently, they're building huge berms and moving whole communities behind them to protect people. I don't think we're going to do that in New York, but we certainly shouldn't be standing there telling people, yeah, this is the new zoning text amendment. Go right ahead and build whatever you want. Just go up high enough and you, you know, presumably won't get flooded, hopefully. That's something that I regard as so awful. It's leading people in a direction they shouldn't be looking at even.
Sorry, Delaire. Thank you, Joan. Yep, sorry. Thank you, Joan. Appreciate that. Akshar, I think you wanted to speak?
So I guess everybody has concern with the plans, but I'm in favor with this because several things. There is an environmental crisis happening. It's happening regardless of the fact. right? And second on top, these people, homes are already built in these neighborhoods. The floodplains that were there 50 years ago, you know, these houses are changing. Every year, homes that were fine are going to be now in floodplains. This is just, this is what's happening. I understand there's a lot of concerns. I believe Mr. Euler and Montgomery brought up valid concerns. But at the end of the day, we need to do something. As a city, as a community, we need to take action on this environmental crisis. Regardless, like people are living there already. That is the question. What do we do to help them regardless? And soon, Bayside, Douglaston, the whole northern end of Community Board 11 will be a flood zone because the way weather patterns, environments are going. And it's just the nature of it. There's nothing we can do to fight climate change as locally. Locally, what we can do is to make sure the people that are living there have the ability to adapt when it's necessary. Because you saw what happened in Sandy. It's going to keep happening worse and worse. There were like about 15 storms. They lost names. They couldn't keep up with the storms. They went to Greek alphabet this year. I don't know about you, but I've lived my whole life in New York. And when I was growing up, I don't remember seeing these drastic weather pattern changes. Like summer is scorching hot. Winter is freezing cold. I don't remember that, right? So we have to do something, and I would urge the board to vote yes on this. And I understand everybody has concerns about voting no on this, but the question at hand is right now, like they're gonna do something about this regardless. And I think it's up to our board that particularly where we live, where environmental concerns are a priority, particularly in Bayside and Douglaston and Little Neck, we should voice our concerns in the affirmative and make sure that these particular three subjects are looked at thoroughly as they go into implementation.
Thank you, Raksha. I really appreciate that. Anybody else?
Yeah, Oakland Gardens, because I do know you guys are closer to the physical water. You could see it, but we're all upon water tables. And when I bought this house where I am next to Alley Pond Park, three blocks away on Cloverdale and between 64th Avenue to 67th Avenue, all those houses are built on slabs. And I was told because of the water table being so high. Now, in the up the hill, and that's why these houses have basements, because I was looking for a basement. But I don't know, 10, 12 years ago when they decided to build these mausoleums, suddenly those basements were allowed to be dug out. And, you know, again, they raise them up so that they could be living quarters as well as basements. But, you know, it seems like we pick and choose when we decide concerned over flooding and when we don't have, then not to be concerned about it. I know physically Douglaston, you know, parts of Bayside and of course Little Neck are sitting right on the water, but you know, all Northeast Queens has a high water table and we're all affected by the flooding. Luckily, you guys can move in with me. I'm up on top of the hill. But, it's crazy the way they keep changing their minds. I asked the Department of Buildings back then why suddenly these houses that were built on slabs were suddenly allowed, and they said they got variances and everything, but nobody could ever tell me specifically why.
So, okay, thank you for that, Rob. Lander, I saw you had your hand up. Do you want to speak?
Yeah, thank you, Mike. To note on this, along with what Akshay was sharing, and I think a couple other members have shared about encouraging overbuilding and building developments in the incorrect ways, I'm in favor of it, but I think that the caution piece that we're talking about is what I want to see is a little bit more of what we did, having been a resident in Brooklyn at the time of Sandy, and seeing what devastation that rained there. And in particular, a lot of studies that have proven that the loss of the wetlands around us was a very big impact of that. And so the retrofitting and the activities that happen in around the waterway along the East River around Brooklyn have been to restore those habitats, put up berms, and be able to have vegetation that would have prevented the storm surge that occurred during Hurricane Sandy. The building retrofitting that was so evident was that the Brooklyn Red Hook NYCHA housing facilities, which were taken offline, and I initiated a solar panel program there, that all the mechanicals were in the basement. So those basements were flooded well into about 5 feet up the side of those buildings. And we saw cars that were floated and left remaining on sidewalks. All of that in particular could have been prevented if the floodplains weren't developed and removed. Now the initiative has been to put those back. So overall, I think it's an important thing to move this along and approve it and vote yes on this. However, I think that there's a big piece around our Northern Queens area. I see it here in the Little Neck area with Little Neck Bay. We still have Udell's Cove. We have some marshland protection. But if that goes away, that obviously is going to devastate the Douglaston Manor, Little Neck area quite significantly. So those types of cautionary pieces is not allowing to develop into the wet plains, making sure that those habitats remain as important vital steps in New York City and in around this area that prevent the storm surge. And it's been proven out in and around Manhattan and Brooklyn. That's all I wanted to share.
Thank you, Landon. Question?
Thank you.
Yeah, Floor, go ahead. And this is going to be the last comment, guys. In the interest of time, we're going
to
have to call the
question. I just wanted to ask, the gentleman that was just speaking said was mentioning the type of vegetation that could have prevented a lot of the damage. And I was wondering what kind of vegetation, if he knew what, obviously trees are a big plus, but if there were other things that might be feasible in terms of bolstering those areas with vegetation. He said the type of vegetation. I was wondering if he knew exactly what that would be.
I don't know the exact terminology of them. The studies that I've had saved, I can find and probably share back, but it's the marshland, typical marshland vegetation are the reeds and the grasses that grow mm-hmm. in and around our shoreline. Those in particular were replanted in and around the East River to make sure that they prevent the storm surge. One, they've proven to absorb the ground, aerate the ground and absorb the water, as well as keep the storm surge at bay. And that's what was planted back in and around the East River.
So maybe
I could find out some specifics.
Yeah, I think that would be something to look into. It could be a good strategy and something that's feasible and highly effective.
Thank you, Floor. Thank you, Lander. I'm going to call the question, guys. So the question and the motion on the floor is to approve. And Henry, can you just say one more time the three things? It's the generators, it's the landmark district, and it's the future development. Is that all? Is that correct?
That's right. That's correct.
Okay. Thank you very much. Joe, can you take a roll call vote, please?
Okay. Asa?
First on first, right? Yes.
Always.
Always.
Adriana?
No, I do not approve.
Bale?
Yeah.
Bind?
Yes.
Bravo?
Yes.
Budeman?
Yes.
Cerezo?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Chin?
Yes.
Claro?
Yes.
Cayano?
Yes.
Thaddeus?
Yes.
December?
Yes.
Di Benedetto?
No.
Mueller?
Yes.
Ferrazzoli?
Yes.
Freed?
Yes.
Gallatin?
Yes.
Garippa?
No.
Gillespie?
Yes.
Golia?
Yes.
Haber?
Yes.
Hader?
Yes.
Tatwani?
Yes.
Jin? Stan?
Sorry, I was speaking on mute. Yes.
It's okay. Kelly?
Yes.
Linda Lee?
Yes.
Liotto?
Yes.
Martino?
Yes.
Mahaltzis?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Montgomery?
Yes, as long as those issues are addressed in the letter.
Polzer.
Yes.
Patel.
Yes.
Pelbier.
Yes.
Pivower. Steve, you still with us?
Walking the dog.
What type of dog?
Steve, you're on mute. All right, I'll put you down.
You can hear me, Steve.
Okay, yes. I can hear you now. That's a yes. Okay, Popa?
Yes.
Rastogi?
Yes.
Shearer?
Yes.
Shiram?
No.
Turner?
Yes.
And Wong?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes, folks.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, everybody. Doug, Henry, appreciate it. We'll communicate that. And thank you, everyone, for bearing with us. I know it's a long agenda tonight. We're just going to keep moving forward. For board member new business, Henry was kind enough to circulate the written updates on BSA this month because we have such a full agenda. Thank you for that. Henry, we'll try and bring that back next month, time permitting, for a verbal report. I didn't get any other folks who told me there was any new business. Is there anyone for board member new business? Okay, great. Hearing nothing, we're going to move on to committee reports. And as we had talked about, and this is our last agenda item other than my adjournment and month ahead. So this is the last thing, guys. We had our public relations committee meeting where we had talked about the proposal that was raised to share board meeting audio recordings online via public platform for the general board meetings. And again, it would be audio recordings. So Adriana, you were the chair of that committee. The committee report was circulated. Do you have anything, you know, further to add about that, just from a committee report perspective?
No, I felt there was a lot of discussion on it. And I don't know if we're opening up discussion. I know it's the evening, but a lot of members were concerned. So we're just starting very small by just doing the audio. And I think that's all there is to it. We're doing baby steps for now to see how everyone feels comfortable with that.
Right. So there was discussion at the committee meeting and the vote was taken, and the vote was taken on the concept that it would be audio recordings of the general board meetings as opposed to committee meetings, and that it would happen as soon as reasonable after reasonably promptly, I think was what we said, after the board meeting occurred. And it was approved. Joe, was it unanimous?
Off the top of my head, I can't quite remember. Let me.
Okay, we won't say whether it was or wasn't, if we can't remember off the top of my head, but it was certainly approved. It was certainly approved. So, do I have a motion to approve? The motion would be to post online audio recordings of our general board meetings, reasonably promptly after the general board meeting occurs. Do I have a motion for that?
Motion.
It makes a motion. Stefan, you second?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to now ask for discussion on the motion. Any discussion on the motion?
Did he do motion and second?
We did. We got a motion from Adriana and a second from Stefan.
Thank you.
I just have a quick question. Are we going to be able to revisit videos at a later date? Do we have like a timetable on when we can review this to look like if we can, as a full board, just out of curiosity. If what's the next steps after that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. We talked about it at the committee meeting, and I think, long story short, is that the Public Relations Committee is going to be monitoring this, putting a specific timetable. People were hesitant about that for a few different reasons, being too specific about it. For example, new ideas sometimes take a little while to gain traction, so there were some concerns that if people look at it too soon, we'll see that there weren't that many people perhaps, reviewing the audio files, but that it might take some time. Also some time for us to just get some experience utilizing it during the course of our meetings. So, long story short, I think the answer to your first question, will it be monitored? Yes. And if we wanted to move further, that was part of the idea of starting with this concept, putting a specific timetable on that. I don't think so. I think it'll be something that we'll be checking in on. Adriana, that makes sense, right? Just meetings going forward.
Yeah, just a question. Who? I'm monitoring it, and his question was, how soon are we going to look back at this? So that was my two questions, because how long we sit on this till we realize we should be going to video or take a vote on it.
Yeah, so look, I think
where are you going to post this? Where is this going to be posted?
So what we and Joe were talking about was YouTube, but that wouldn't be part of the motion, meaning from an administrative perspective, it would be something that was publicly available, but that's something that we would manage as an office, meaning I don't want to hamstring us from, oh, we're going to use this exact technology or that exact technology. But the idea would be that it would be something that would be easily publicly available online. YouTube is a good example. That is the first, that is what we are currently planning. Joe, we're still planning to do that? YouTube is what we're currently planning?
Yeah, I think that might make the most amount of sense, especially because I'm not quite sure what the limits are data-wise in terms of what we could upload exactly to our website. So YouTube would probably be best.
Yeah, George here. I was going to ask that question. Is there any fiscal impact? I mean, is there any cost to doing this to the board?
So one of
no,
the reasons...
No, so we're ahead, sorry. Former acting borough president Lee's office, now current borough president Richard's office, actually pays for our Zoom account, which is great. It's a great help to the board from the borough president's office. So all this stuff is being recorded anyway. Legally, we have to hold on to this stuff. That's in the charter. The audio recordings we've had to hold on to since the beginning of community boards, that's charter mandated. So that's always been done. With Zoom, it's actually a little bit easier because it records automatically as we have the meeting here. So throwing it on either YouTube or something like that, there's no fiscal cost to it, essentially, is my answer.
Okay.
Hold on. I apologize. I just need people to ask to speak first just because we have multiple people. I think I heard Albert and I think I heard Christine. Who else is interested in speaking?
Joan. I have a question.
And yeah. I see Doug too. Okay, so that's the order, please. Albert, Christine, Joan, Doug. Okay, Albert, please go ahead.
Can you put a date on it instead of reasonably soon or whatever the term you've used?
Yeah, the reason that we didn't do that is, again, just to the logistics of our office. So, you know, we've got three employees and that's it. And we're working remotely. And if things are happening late in the week or if there's multiple things happening at any given time, the idea here is that we're going to try and do it quickly. There's every motivation to do so. But just to say it, I'm not looking to have people say, you know, oh, you know, Joe had six things to do on Thursday night and it didn't get up by, you know, 9 p.m. and now... You know, so I just, that was the idea.
Yeah, but your reasonable list it may not be my reasonable list, may not be the next person who's in charge reasonableness.
Look, that's true. There's no question about that. There's no question about that.
You put 30 days, good. You're going to do it sooner than that.
I think that the intent here, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, was certainly to get it up before 30 days. There was nothing like that was what we were concerned about, right, Joe?
Yeah, I'm thinking more in terms of whether it takes a couple of days or a week or something of that nature. Not that you would come to the next board meeting and the old one hadn't been uploaded.
Correct. The idea here is to make this available.
Put it by the next board meeting.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
Sorry, Ben.
I apologize. Sorry, Ben. I just need to take it one at a time. We had people waiting.
Sure.
That was Albert. I'm sorry. Next was, I think...
Christine.
Christine, thank you.
Then Joan.
Then Joan, then Doug. You got it. Thanks, Albert.
Then Ben. Then Ben.
Okay. You keep score. All right. I have many questions, but I can ask them offline, I imagine. But my concern is, who's going to... Is it going to be the people in the office who are going to monitor this, you know, like yourself, Michael, and Joe, et cetera? Or are you going to let members of our board say, oh, I have to post stuff on, I'm going to do that? I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, there's no wiggle room about the idea here is about what's going to be posted, I think, is what we're talking about, which is the audio recording of the general board meeting.
Okay.
What me and Joe were talking about, for example, was just to put a sort of cover screen that simply says, you know, what this is, i.e. general board meeting on this date. Here's our social media accounts. Here's the phone number. Here's the email if you have any questions or requests for information. The idea here is just to provide, you know, this recording to people.
Yeah, but you're putting it on YouTube?
That's the idea.
Don't laugh at me, any of you, because I'm not technologically completely savvy, but doesn't YouTube go all around the world?
Uh-huh. It's generally available on the internet, yes.
Why would we need to put our personal business in Community Board 11 that far around the world?
So I think that's perfectly reasonable comment, and I think that's what people need to decide is whether they're comfortable putting the meetings online. But just to say it, we're not talking about any personal business. We're talking about community board business, the general meeting, which is public. And, you know, the internet just is, you know, I think a global mechanism. You know, so that was the reason that we had talked about doing it this way. If there was a way to make it available to New York City residents, perhaps that would have been considered, but it seemed the easiest and to George's point, the simplest without cost, significant complexity to do a straightforward audio posting. I think that was what was sort of discussed.
I sent you an email earlier today about some questions about this. And you said that there was a proposal sent around to all board members. And I got no proposal. I just got this public relations committee report.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, Joe, I think I put this into, was it the digest? I know I spoke about it last board meeting.
Is it in a digest?
Yeah, I think it was the digest, but it's literally just these 3 points, Christine. There's no written PowerPoint or one of the ideas here was to keep this simple. It's an audio recording of our general monthly meeting, not the committee meetings. Mm-hmm. To be done reasonably promptly after that general meeting.
Because the one thing I'm saying is everybody wants transparency. I was one of the most transparent chairs there was. But saying that, if you have a text amendment or a proposal from somebody, you should just send it out simply as the proposal. It should say, you know, John's proposal on such and such, please give a read, you know, it will be on the agenda, whatever.
Okay, I'll take that into consideration. I tried to make this information.
Michael, don't misunderstand.
No, it's fine. No problem. I tried to make this information known in advance. Point taken. I understand.
Yeah,
I do understand.
It's very important. And I mean, I have seen over the years people stand up even before the COVID and say, well, I didn't receive this. I'm not voting on it. And they're right. Okay.
I understand the concern. I do.
Yeah, you do. Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Understood. Thank you. I forgot again who was next, and I'm sorry.
Well, I should have written it down.
Joan?
Yes,
Joan. Thank you.
Next.
Then Ben.
And then Ben, and then you, Stefan. Doug, then Stefan.
Are we ready now?
Yes. Go ahead, Joan.
Okay. So, I never got the Public Relations Committee report. I never got the proposal. I never got anything.
Just to say it, guys, it's in the meeting notice that went out with the general board meeting that we're going to vote on this. We talked about it at last month's board meeting. So this is just to say it, and I understand people's concerns, and we always have some issues about communications. I know there's challenges for everybody, but I don't think this is coming as a surprise. I went out of my way to ensure that we had enough lead time to try and make sure people were aware of what was going on. So I do apologize if people feel that they didn't get this information.
That's not the point. The point is that I think a lot of the questions that are being asked now would have been raised and answered in a committee report if I had it in front of me, which I don't. That's number one. Number two, my concern with YouTube is that I believe when you post on their platform, they retain this. It's not something where you put it up, take it down, and say, okay, that's it, it's gone. They retain it. So the question is, do we want other people retaining our stuff ad infinitum? Something to think about. Your proposal, I think, is to do this while we are in the COVID and we cannot be seen by people.
It's audio, correct?
Right. Okay, so that was my list of questions and I'd like somebody to send me the report and the proposal and what have you. I don't like trying to figure out on the run what we're talking about. I just don't think it's a fair way to judge something.
Fair enough. And again, I'm sorry if people feel they didn't have this information. It was disseminated in advance in multiple arenas, including on the meeting notice when it went out.
Yeah, but I didn't get that until late in that, and I didn't even get the floodplain thing until this afternoon. So
okay, I know, Joan, and we struggle with the I understand. I understand. I appreciate it. I do appreciate the feedback. And just to say it, guys, I'm just trying to answer questions as they come up. I'm not to push us one way or the other. You know, everyone should vote exactly what they think, and I'm not pushing people to do this. Some people want it to do it, some people don't, and that's why we're going to vote on it and discuss it. Doug, you're next.
Yeah, just as clarification, you know, I'm on Long Island Board of Realtors Professional Standards Committee. I've been for 20 years. The problem with audio recordings is unless you have a detailed way in which people present, you never know who's talking. You don't have a name associated with it. So like what we do in our hearings is when you say something, you have to say your name first. So if they go back and challenge the hearing, you know who's talking. You're not going to know who's talking in this. I mean, you've got three pages of people right now on this meeting. And as it gets disseminated to wherever, and I don't have a problem with it going to YouTube. It should be available to everybody in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
These meetings.
The one comment I would make about that is that I agree with you that if we were if this gets approved, that there'll be practices, and I will be considering what those are that we should engage in to try and make it easier for people to understand what's going on if they're listening to this solely from audio. The only thing I would also say is that even if it was video, it's not clear to me that in many cases, everybody would know exactly who it is, but there's ways we can fix that. For example, bringing in a practice that where before anyone speaks at all, you simply say your name. So I would say,
correct.
Michael Budivin, blah, 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 right?
Correct.
Hopefully something really intelligent. But anyway, we can work on this stuff, guys, and and that's part of the reason that we said we'd monitor it. What's working, what's not, try and figure things out. But I think that's a reasonable concern, Doug. Ben, you're next.
Ben, you're muted.
Thank you. In terms of, I guess I'm not clear on why we're taking the intermediary step of audio only. It seems like it would just be simpler to do video and audio because Zoom and most other meeting software, the recording option is to include video and audio. So it's actually simpler. It would be simpler to just do it all in one fell swoop than start with audio and then work our way to video. There is if you record Zoom meetings, it also stores them, so we wouldn't even have to post to YouTube. If it works like other meeting software that I've used, it keeps the recording of the meeting within Zoom, and all we'd have to do is get a link to it and post it on our website.
But we had discussed this in the committee meeting, and a lot of members, not me, but a lot of members didn't want the video, and that's why we're doing the audio first. That's just okay. So you know, that's what the discussion was. So
okay, no fair enough.
And Ben, just to give a sense, and I am just being cognizant of time here, I know we have to make sure we talk about this important point, but just to give a sense, there were concerns, for example, about what you just saw with my son, where we're in our homes right now. He comes, he gives me a hug. Do I want a pic? You know, if my son goes in the background, do people want to see that? People had concerns about people being able to identify them by picture. If someone didn't like something they said and they see them on the street, you know, what does that mean? Again, whether you agree or disagree, you know, what essentially was that people felt like that was a big step and that there was some nervousness around that, which was the reason that what got approved initially was at the committee level was an audio. Yeah. And then to continue to monitor.
Sorry, I don't want to relitigate things that were already discussed at the meeting, but I would just raise that as a technical point.
Totally understood. And it certainly was the subject of discussion at the committee meeting for sure. Stefan.
Okay, so I had a couple of responses to to the concerns based on some notes I took. Okay, so Albert had a concern with the sort of the timeframe of posting, if I remember correctly. So I guess if you want to have a specific timeframe, I'm not sure if 7 days would be a good amendment so that by the next week we would have it available. I don't know if there's any logistical hurdles to that. If there isn't, that would be a good way to sort of have a more definition to it. But if there is, I'm perfectly understandable of that. As for the concerns for YouTube, those are the first one was mentioned by Christine, I remember, specifically with regards to it being available to the world. So YouTube recommends videos and posts videos to people based on an algorithm of what they've watched before and how likely they're going to watch certain other videos. The likelihood of our committee meeting popping up when someone's recommended for someone who has never been to this neighborhood before is very, very infinitesimal. And even if that was a significant concern, it's only really the audio that's being broadcasted. So none of our faces are going to be on there. Only our names. Our names are already obtainable through the community board website. And even if that's a concern, we could make it a link-only view. So we could have links to the YouTube video on our website. This is what some of my professors have done. They've placed links on Blackboard where you have a YouTube video, but you can only access it through the link. You cannot access it by search. Of course, that diminishes people's ability to search for these videos. But if that's really, really necessary, then that is an option that we can take.
The
issues that... Okay, so we've already covered the issues with exposing people's houses in video. I believe Joan brought up an issue with how much data YouTube collects and the fact that it's going to be posted there permanently. And in two responses to that, I would say first, we still do have to keep this data available, and it is still available for people for open meetings. Like, people can make Freedom of Information requests regarding this, and meeting minutes are available online. And in addition, YouTube typically only either stores the video itself as well as any sort of aggregate data. They don't specifically collect data on specific users. From what I can understand, they only collect demographic data for advertising purposes. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's generally like the extent of data collection that typically permeates YouTube. It's just only for advertiser stuff.
So that's helpful, Stefan, and thank you. Christine, hold on. We just have a couple other people on, and we need to call this question because it's almost...
Don't forget me.
It's almost 10 o'clock, so we're going to have to cut this off, guys. It's only going to be new stuff. But listen, just the one thing to respond, Stefan, is that I'm just... The response to the time frame, if we find that it's a problem, guys, I think we should deal with it. I'm hesitant. The only thing that could come out of putting on a time frame is someone on the board calls up and says that you guys technically didn't meet the time frame. And if that happens, there's going to be a reason that that's the case. If we start taking 25 days to get this stuff up, and it's because people are being slow in the office, like, we're going to manage that from an administrative and logistical perspective. I don't like the idea as a board of telling our office, here's your time frame. If they're doing things quickly, it's concerning to me from a managerial perspective to do that, which is that concern came from me personally. And like we've all said, we're going to monitor it, and if it's a problem going forward, then we'll need to manage it. But I don't like the board putting that type of a logistical restraint on our office when we have so few people. That was the reason for that. Akshar.
Go ahead. Stefan made my comments.
Okay. Akshar passes. Sila. Did you want to speak? I thought you had. Okay. No? Okay, I got Sam, I got Christine. Is there anybody else?
John.
I see Lander, John. Anybody else?
And Paul.
Okay, Lander, that's gonna be it, guys, okay?
All right.
Lander, John, and Paul after Sam.
And just Christine. A quick one is, if this is audio only as a community board, would we not be required to provide a transcript or closed captioning for the hearing impaired?
We can look into whether we are required to provide a closed caption for the hearing impaired. I don't know that we are required to do that. And if we were, that could be the kind of thing that would make this not possible. And what I mean by that is, Joe, are you aware of that, whether we would or wouldn't?
I don't think we are. And if we do it on YouTube, YouTube automatically closed captions audio files anyway, so we would be covered.
It's not
perfect. It's algorithmically, but it works 90% of the time, I'd say.
Well, then maybe it wouldn't keep us from doing it if it does it automatically.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something I would recommend that we should look into if this is for transparency, obviously there's a demographic that wouldn't be able to hear the audio, right?
Yeah, 100%. And this is something that was also raised at the meeting, and John raised this as one of his concerns at the meeting, if I recall anyway. And there's no question that there, you know, that there are limitations to you know, using only audio. Frankly, there are limitations to any approach that we would take. Certain people are, you know, able to use things or not able to use things, but it's a good point. So that was Lander. Then I have Sam, John, Paul, and Christine. Sam?
Yep. So, I mean, if we're concerned about the YouTube content control, right, why don't we just try to get our own virtual server? That way we can, you know, control the content. We can move, you know, take it down when we want. We can put it up when we want. And then, you know, they won't be able to copy it as well, too. So, and it doesn't cost that much to get a virtual server.
So I guess the only thing I would say about that is that's a good suggestion. One of the reasons that I'm not looking to limit us to a particular technology is that if we come up with best, you know, best practices, better ideas, easy ideas, we should implement them. So Sam, why don't we follow up with you after the meeting for okay. what you're talking about with the virtual server, and if we think it's a good idea, we can consider it from a logistical perspective.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. John?
So I was someone that proposed the motion 2 months ago, and I thought that it was going to be something that could help the board and also create transparency in the community. I was really happy to give everybody a month to think about that. I thought that you know, the whole point of the proposal was to sort of decrease the surprises we had. But the day after the meeting, Mike called me up to say that he wanted 2 months to think about this, which I think is a time period outside of our norms and also the bylaws. So I'm used to my motions being delayed, so like I get it, but I thought 1 month was reasonable. I thought that the second month really wasn't very appropriate, especially pushing it to the end of a very long meeting tonight. As you know, at the Public Relations Committee, we changed it from having, you know, actual video recordings to having just audio recordings. We changed it from, you know, looking at all of our meetings to putting all of them online so people can sort of see what was going on at our meetings to just the general meetings. The reason I brought up this motion was, if you remember, there was a Parks Committee meeting where there was a presentation about the Greenway. And the Transportation Committee didn't get to discuss the Greenway changes because we couldn't see the presentation the Parks Committee had. So the whole point of this was that we can put these presentations online and that other community board members or anybody else can see the presentations and, you know, be a little bit better informed so we could have better conversations about it, because that really didn't work there. By watering down the motion, we no longer fix that problem, right? So the entire point of this is not going to get solved at all by doing this. I don't really see how there's any security concerns about posting these meetings online, like the video recordings of these meetings. Other boards do this already, and any member of the public can come to these meetings, like there are members of the public right now, and they can record them too, and post them online themselves. And people are already doing this. If you search for Community Board of Lebanon Queens meetings, you will see on YouTube, you will find some of our meetings that have already been posted online by other people. So by us not doing it doesn't create any security, trying to create any systems. People are already doing this. By us putting it there, it shows that we want to be transparent and that we're helping do all of them, not just one off that other people decide, you know, sort of what should be out there. And also, if you have concerns about security, just turn your camera off, right? You know, I sit in a room away from everybody else in my household and I close the door out of respect for everyone here so that it doesn't matter if there's something going on in my house. It doesn't come into this room, because I think at the end of the day, you know, that we should be working for the community here, right? So I'm still going to vote for this since it's a very small step in the right direction. But I think our board can come together to do much better stuff with our motions than, you know, just putting these audio recordings up at some time in the future, just for these general meetings, for a lot of the reasons that other board members have already expressed here.
Okay, thank you, John. Appreciate that. Paul?
Yes, I have no issues with the transparency of it, because everything that we do is public, and whether it be any official business of the community board automatically is public, and it should be public. And I have no problem with the audio and video portion of it. I do have a problem with the YouTube portion of it. I don't think it should go on YouTube. There's no reason to take what we do and put it on YouTube, because if anybody wants to hear about what we're doing, they should go to our server and view it. And anybody in the world can do that too. Clickable. But it shouldn't be put into this format of that has nothing to do with the community board specifically. I think anybody who wants to see it should go and look for it and find it. The only good thing about YouTube is it doesn't cost anything. That's
okay,
my
noted. As I said, I think we're open from a technological perspective to finding the best solution. We want something that's easy. We want something that's widely available to people. You know, so there's no purposefully, you know, I think we're, Joe, you had something to say on that?
Yeah. If the file sizes are small enough that we could get them on our website, then that's the easiest thing. Cause then I mean, it's easiest for me, for us, because I mean, we wouldn't have to create another account for another thing. That would be the best thing, especially because we're a city agency. Putting it on our official website would be best. That's just going to require a little bit of homework on my part, but I'm open to that as long as the files can fit.
Yep. So we're going to look into the best place to post it, Paul and other people who've raised that concern. Okay. Is anyone who hasn't spoken yet want to speak?
Christine.
Alan?
Christine.
Alan, go ahead.
Christine.
I know Christine.
Okay.
Alan, I can't hear you. Can you please speak up into the mic? I apologize.
Now?
Yes.
We have a piece of technology we're adding to
our... Can't hear him.
We're still having some problem hearing you, Alan. I'm not sure if you can speak close to the mic. I apologize.
Well, can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Just barely.
We have a piece of technology we're adding, but we don't have any strategy as to what we're doing with this. I think we have to come up with a strategy of what you're doing. I assume you're trying to get community involvement, but we've got to build something around that. How do we advertise this? How do we get people to come in and see our zoning committee meetings? This is a piece of technology we could start off doing. In other words, at our meeting, we've got to drum these up, and with this, we can do it, but how do we get out and reach to the community and tell them, this is what we're trying to do? Come in and see it. Like having a TV set, and you don't want to even, look at it. We've got to motivate people. We're trying to motivate people to come to our committee meetings so that they can get involved in their zoning situation. We're trying to get people to come to the maybe so they can see what's going on and get them involved, so they want to join, so they want to bring up things and so forth. We have to develop a strategy, and I'd like to suggest that the Community Relations Committee, which is what I like to call it, because that's what it is all about, come up with a kind of a mission statement or a strategy as to what we're going to do with all these different things. That's my thought.
Yeah, that's a good point, and it is something that we discussed at the Public Relations Committee, and frankly, the reason we formed that committee, so we are working on it. Some of you guys may have seen, I don't know if any of you guys are on Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, but we've been trying to increase our presence, putting our digest materials out there, and this is part of, sort of a general plan to try and do outreach. I have Christine. Ben, I see you. I need final call for anybody else. Guys, we got to call the question. It's almost 10 o'clock. Anybody else?
Okay.
That's it. Okay, Christine, Ben, and then we're calling it, guys.
Okay, thank you. Mike, I think it's great that we're going forward with something like this, social media, but I don't think it should be rushed. It seems like it's being rushed to me and to every question that was brought up tonight that wasn't answered at the committee meeting. Now, when we have our committee meetings, the committee discusses an issue. Then they decide, okay, we'll bring this before the board. And then the board makes the full decision, okay? Now, John Kelly just said that you, Michael, wanted 2 months, which I think would have been better. And John said he wanted 1 month because he said the bylaws require 1 month. And that's wrong.
Well, just with respect.
I didn't say that. That's not the words I said.
Don't misstatement. You're going to quote them correctly.
I did not quote the bylaws. Christine and John, guys,
let's
stop.
Go back to the video. We'll see.
Christine and John, stop, please. Please stop. I'm sorry. Christine. Sorry. I'm gonna. Please unmute yourself. Just unmute yourself if you can hear me.
There. Now.
Thank you. Please, I don't want any procedural back and forth. Okay,
it will be done. That's all I was saying, and it was for your benefit.
Just now, I don't want to.
I think if you want my opinion, that we should hold on to this, get more of a strategy with it, and as Alan just said, where are we going with this? Okay, these are things to think about. I would just like to see that. It really thought out a little more, because there's so many questions tonight, okay? And he was out of line with talking to me. There were so many questions tonight that I feel that people don't have, they're not totally comfortable with it yet. So.
Okay, thank you. Ben, last comment.
I would just like to point out that the question has already been called and we're voting on it. It did go to committee. We've been talking about this for months. And this is nothing new. We're not exactly breaking new ground here. We're following the law by making our meetings more publicly available. There's nothing stopping us months down the road or next month if we want to come up with a strategy for how to promote these or make them more publicly available. But the scope of the meeting, as I understand it, and what we discussed tonight, was simply whether or not we were going to record our meetings and make them public. That's it. There's nothing stopping us from coming up with a strategy for how we want to share them with people later on. But using that as an excuse to squelch this idea, which I think is what's happening here, and what's I've seen happen in the past at CB11, is nonsense.
Okay, thank you, Ben. I'm gonna call the question, guys. So just to be clear, there was a motion made by Adriana and seconded by Stefan to put our audio recordings of our general, so not video recordings, but audio recordings of our general monthly board meetings, not our committee meetings, online, you know, within a reasonable amount of time after the meeting occurs. Okay, Joe, please call a roll call vote.
Asa?
Go for it.
Is that a yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Aviles?
Yes.
Bale?
Yes.
Bind?
Yes.
Bravo?
Yes.
Budabin?
Yes.
Cerezo?
I was in the committee meeting and the same ish happened.
Cerezo?
Yes.
Chu?
That's what I mean.
Yes.
Chin?
Yes.
Claro. Sorry, just hold on a second, Joe. Whoever's speaking, you guys, you're coming out over full audio. Please be quiet if you're not being called on to vote.
Claro?
Yes.
Callado?
Yes.
Tedros?
Yes.
December?
Sorry, yes.
Di Benedetto?
Yes.
Euler?
Yes.
Perzoli?
Yes.
Freed?
Yes.
Gallatin.
Yes.
Garippa.
Yes.
Gillespie.
Yes.
Golia.
Yes.
Haber.
Present.
Hader. Christine, you're on mute.
No.
Chitwani.
Yes.
Jin?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Linda Lee?
Yes.
Liotto?
Yes.
Martino?
Yes.
Mahaltzis?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Montgomery?
Yes.
Polzer?
Yes.
Patel?
Yes.
Pelbier?
Yes.
Pavour?
Yes.
Popa?
Yes.
Rastogi? Gungeon? You might be on mute. You may want to check if you're still here. Though I don't see. I don't see your name anymore. Okay, I'm gonna move on. Shearer?
Yes.
Shiram? Jyoti? Jyoti?
Yes.
Turner?
Yes.
Wong?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate everyone's time going through that and appreciate bearing with us in the good discussion. guys, we're going to move on to the month ahead and adjournment. I'm going to be very quick here. Some meetings that are coming up this Thursday, 12:10, 1 p.m. meeting for public safety and licensing. We have a health committee meeting planned for December 16th at 7:30. We're going to be talking about some of the stuff that's been going on with COVID and test and trace. And then there's a Douglaston Zoning Committee meeting at 7:30 planned for December 21st. All those meetings are on Zoom. I just want to say thank you to everyone for bearing with us tonight. We covered a lot of ground. We had some BSA backlog. We went over some important issues and took some important votes. So I really do appreciate people's time. As you know, I've been trying to keep meetings from going this long, but tonight was an exception. And I just want to say to everybody, I hope that everyone has a wonderful holiday season, a fantastic new year. I think, you know, it's been a very tough year for everybody all around, but I've been impressed with the way that this board has managed itself and to get through this year together. So I thank you all. I wish you a fantastic holidays, a happy new year, and for you and your families to be safe and well.
Thank you.
Same to everybody.
Good holidays, everybody.
2021,
everybody.
Good night.
Take care, folks.
Take care.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.